Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocks. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Five questions, five answers. Let's get to it right now. We do this segment every Monday and Friday right here on the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and it's called Onsides Offside. Hot take, Hickey.
Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside! Defense number 69!
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. All right, what do you got?
Well, Zach, Aaron Rodgers, who played last night's game with a broken right thumb, suffered an oblique slash rib injury in the third quarter of last night's loss to the Eagles and did not return in the game. Jordan Love played the entire fourth quarter. He went 6-9 for 113 yards and did throw a touchdown as Green Bay scored on both possessions Love was leading. After the game, Aaron Rodgers said he expects to play next week against the Bears if he's cleared. Matt LaFleur, head coach, echoed a similar sentiment. Onsides or offsides, Zach? The Packers should shut down Aaron Rodgers for the rest of the season and start Jordan Love.
Now you have a double whammy with the injuries. Broken thumb and now a rib injury. And your team's 4-8. I know you're still mathematically alive, but you have no shot of making the playoffs. For the final five games of the season, yeah, it's time. Shut down Aaron Rodgers. Thanks for playing. You're too banged up. We'll see you next year, assuming you want to be back. I would shut down Aaron Rodgers for the rest of the season and see what you got in the kid in Jordan Love on sides.
A few massive head coaching vacancies in college football have already been filled recently.
By the way, how crazy was it that they came back against the Dallas Cowboys? And yet some people, just for like a slight second, were ready to say, oh, here comes the Packers. Here comes the second half surge. And then that game on that Thursday night football game went right out the window, poof. And you go from that little sequence to now, okay, Rodgers needs to be shut down for the rest of the season.
I feel like each week Aaron Rodgers is talking about, you know, up to count us out. You know, we got to win it out. We got to win out from here, a loss. Well, we got to win out from here, another loss. It's like after a while. Jeez.
Yeah. Other than the Cowboys game, do they have a good win this season? They beat the Bears 27-10.
They beat
Tampa, but remember, Tampa had no wide receivers that game, and Tampa Bay almost got the two-point conversion.
What was the score of that game? It was like
14-12.
Okay. Yeah, it was very ugly.
They beat New England in overtime with Bailey Zappe.
Yep.
And then they beat Dallas. Like, other than that Dallas game, they don't have a good win.
No,
Tampa's not a good win right now.
No, they're 5-6. You're 100% right. And it's like, you look at Dallas, like, what the hell are you doing? Up 14 points. Finish the job.
Think about it. The Packers, before the year, even if you thought they were going to take a step back, they were a lock to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They lost. If I would have told you before the year they lost to the Giants, you would have said what to me?
No way.
If I would have told you they would have lost to the Jets, you would have said?
I would have laughed at you out of the building.
The Commanders, okay, like, gritty team, maybe.
It's the NFL. You know, there was always one game for each team where you lose. It's like, what the hell was that game?
Bills, you would expect.
Right.
If I told you that the Lions only scored 15 points, you would have thought they would have won the game, right?
Easily.
They lost that game. And they lose to Tennessee, okay. You could see Derrick Henry and company being great, but it was really the story of that game was Ryan Tannehill. It was the best game I've seen in a while.
Outplayed Aaron Rodgers.
And then they lose to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a better team, but going into the year, you wouldn't have thought Philadelphia was a better team.
No. And it's, to even the Packers' credit, kind of show where the season is. In fact, they only lost by 7, like 40-33. It's like, wow, it's a nice effort.
Yeah, so you had some funky plays in that game in the first half. That never felt like the Eagles were going to lose. When the Packers took a lead, I got the Eagles at -3.5. And I had to sweat it out at the end because Jordan Love started to march them down the field in a 10-point game. And I was very happy when they had to settle for that field goal. Anyway, number two, go ahead.
So, like we were saying, college football, a few big vacancies, and they have already been filled. Over the weekend, Nebraska hired former Panthers head coach Matt Rhule, who did compile turnarounds at both Temple and Baylor in his coaching career.
T.U.
There you go. Wisconsin hired former Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell, who went 53-10 with the Bearcats since 2018.
He took Cincinnati to the college football playoff. That's all you need to know about Luke Fickell.
That is 100% right. Something no other Group of Five coach so far has done in the 8 years of the college football playoff. And earlier today, it was made official. Auburn hired former Ole Miss and Liberty head coach Hugh Freeze, who's had one losing season in 10 years as a head coach across three different schools. Onsides or offsides, Zach, Wisconsin hiring Luke Fickell is the best hire of the three so far.
If I had to rank them, I would go Luke Fickell 1, Matt Rhule 2, Hugh Freeze 3. I think Matt Rhule's a tremendous fit at Nebraska. I thought Auburn could have done better than Hugh Freeze. I thought they should have got Lane Kiffin, and it seemed like they tried to push Cadillac Williams on his staff, which maybe Lane Kiffin would have put him on, but I respect Lane when you're told to do something that you should, like, if you're going to ask someone to cook a meal, right, in the Parcells saying he should at least be able to shop for the groceries. So don't tell him what groceries to use when cooking the meal if that's going to be your head coach. And if that's really what did him in and made him say no, like what Greg McElroy said, man, you got to be kicking yourself if you're Ole Miss. Not that Hugh Freeze is his bad hire. I think he's a good hire. Like, I like it. I don't love it, though. But, yeah, I think it's Wisconsin hiring Luke Fickell because that was a creme de la creme name last year in the hiring cycle, and he elected not to take Notre Dame. I don't even know if Notre Dame was offered him, but he wanted to stay at Cincinnati, and then Notre Dame moved quickly on Marcus Freeman. But who was talking about Luke Fickell leaving this year? No one. Because he stayed last year. And for Wisconsin to get him and to see what he did at Cincinnati and got Cincinnati in the Big 12, all that, the college football playoff, now you wonder what he's going to do with the resources at Wisconsin. So because of that, I'm going to go on sides in that department that Luke Fickell is the best hire of the three.
The Bengals, they had a solid win over the Titans on Sunday, beating Tennessee on the road without Chase and Joe Mixon.
I hate to cut you off, but we have breaking news. The Steelers have scored a touchdown, so it's now 12-0. Here comes the extra point, and it is good. So Hickey predicted that the Colts, for the first time this season, would get their first victory of 10-plus points?
Had the easiest win of the season, their first double-digit victory of the year.
And I told you were crazy to think that your team could beat any team by 10-plus points. It is the Steelers 13, the Colts 11.
Not good so far.
Jeff
a lot
Saturday
of time.
Out coaching Mike Tomlin.
Not good so far.
You clown.
One team who had a very good game, Cincinnati Bengals. Again, without two of their best players, no Jamar Chase, who thought two was supposed to come back on Sunday, did not. Joe Mixon as well, he was not there. And instead, Cincinnati won 20-16. They have won 7 out of their last 9 games since starting the year 0-2. The Ravens, they fell to the Jaguars 28-27, in which the Baltimore defense blew another fourth quarter lead, allowing 18 points to lose the game. And now in their 4 losses this year so far, the Ravens defense in the fourth quarter has combined to allow 539 yards and 63 points. Yikes. Onsides or offsides? The Bengals right now are the team to beat in the AFC North.
If I just had to give you the opponents, and I'm going to take out the end of the year matchup, Ravens and Bengals. If I just had to give you the opponents down the stretch, which schedule would you rather face? Schedule A, Kansas City, Cleveland, Tampa, New England, Buffalo. Or schedule B, Denver, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Falcons, Steelers.
That would be B.
Yeah, that's the Ravens schedule compared to the Bengals schedule. Now, it may come down to the end of the year, and I've been impressed with Cincinnati the last few weeks, surviving without Jamar Chase. The offensive line did play better the other day, had a bad loss against the Browns, but other than that, they've been hot as of late, as that's been a football team that has won 5 of their last 6 games. It's starting to look like the Bengals are the better team, and the Ravens have given me no reason to trust them. And if it comes down to the end of the season, I would probably pick the Bengals to beat the Ravens. But because of the schedule for now, I will lean on the Baltimore Ravens still. So you say the Bengals are the team to beat in the AFC North. I'm going to go offside on that one.
Offside.
Slightly, just because of the schedule.
Chaos struck college football again on Saturday. Number 3 Michigan just absolutely blew the doors off of number 2 Ohio State on the road, mind you, scoring 28 second-half points to beat the Buckeyes 45-23. LSU, who was ranked number 5 and holding on to slim hopes of a college football playoff appearance, well, they washed those hopes away with a 38-23 loss to Texas A&M. Clemson, they flushed their college football playoff hopes down the drain with a brutal 31-30 loss to South Carolina at home. Their first loss in Death Valley since 2016. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Georgia, Michigan, and TCU, regardless of the outcome of their conference championship game, are locks to make the college football playoff.
Yeah. Georgia's definitely in. I don't care if they lose to LSU in the SEC title game. Michigan's definitely in. I don't care if they lose to Purdue because they beat Ohio State. They crushed Ohio State. And TCU, if they only have one loss, I think they should be in. And if there was more teams that showed they were worthy, then it'd be a totally different conversation. But Ohio State lost the game and they got blown up by Michigan. You saw Tennessee unfortunately crumble down the stretch and you had the terrible injury to Hendon Hooker. LSU could have had a really compelling case, 2-loss SEC champion if they would have beat Georgia. But they just lost this past weekend. Clemson looked like they were dead. Then they had a chance. 1-loss ACC champion. And Clemson just implodes this weekend against South Carolina. But we need to see 12 teams in the college football playoff. No, we don't. But I think all three of those teams are now locks. And the only question is, does USC beat Utah? And if USC beats Utah, those are your 4 teams. If they don't, then you're probably in the Ohio State conversation against Alabama. And who would you rather take there? So, onsides or offside, Georgia, Michigan, and TCU, regardless of the outcome of their conference championship game, are locks to make the college football playoff? Yeah, onsides.
And
who would have thought
finally,
that, by the way, before the year? Yeah. TCU.
Lock.
Sonny Dykes. He's going to be coach of the year.
And as he should. Done a great job with this team.
Here's how I worded it on Twitter. Sonny Dykes, coach of the year. Executive of the year, Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, that's fair.
I know they don't actually have an executive of the year in college football, but I would create that award this year. Turning first ever Lincoln Riley executive of the year.
He managed a portal better than anyone. Yeah. He did a great, great, great job, and they are, like I said, 4 quarters away from making a college football playoff berth. Finally, Zach, week 12 in the NFL saw some brutal losses by contenders. The Buccaneers lost to the Browns 23-17 in overtime. They now fall to 5-6 on the season. The Seahawks, after getting some good momentum so far for the first halfway point of the season, lost to Josh Jacobs, as that Raiders running back had himself 303 yards of total offense, including the 86-yard touchdown in overtime to win the game. And the Ravens blew a 9-point fourth quarter lead in their eventual 28-27 loss to the Jaguars. Onside or offside, Zach, the Ravens' loss is the worst loss from Week 12.
Here's, once again, all these losses are horrible, clearly. I'm going to go with the surprising one, though.
Broncos.
Yep. The Panthers, I know they have played better under Steve Wilks, but they were starting Sam Darnold. Russell Wilson got traded for all those picks. You gave him that contract, and he couldn't outscore Sam Darnold, and he had a defensive lineman that was undrafted and was playing in the AAF. Mike Purcell yelling at him. I know the opponent. Both of these teams stink. But if you are the Broncos, it's another one of those what the bleep moments where we don't have the right coach, and you knew that. But now you have zero confidence in your quarterback, too. And it's been that way for the last few weeks. So, yes, it's another catastrophe for the Ravens blowing a fourth quarter lead. But I'm going with the Broncos being the worst loss of the weekend. So, offside.
Offside.
855-212-4CBS. Let me quickly go to Jay in Alaska. John Jansen going to join us on the other side to recap the big Michigan victory. Jay, go ahead, my friend.
Hey, how's it going? I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. It was been brutally cold up here, bro. No. Don't ever come here in the wintertime. When I left my house, it was -3, and the high was 8 today.
Jeez.
Yeah.
My condolences. Terrible. So what do you
got, Jim? I got a couple things for you, but I first wanted to apologize to you, Zach. The reason Hickey is losing his freaking mind is that picture I sent him of the good old days, you know, when the Colts had Peyton Manning and they were winning Super Bowls. So he just
Super
got a
Bowl.
Crazy.
Not Super all. Bowls. not plural. He only won one. Okay.
Well, but you know what I'm saying. They were in yes. it. They were in a couple Super Bowls and they were winning a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
So he just kind of lost his mind.
Yeah, he said his team is going to win by double digits tonight. That is just he's had a lot of bad takes this year. That could be the worst one I've ever heard.
That was like me thinking the Raiders. That was like me earlier this year thinking the Raiders are going to make the playoffs again.
Well, you know what? That wasn't a crazy take before the start of the year. Like there were reasons to think that the team wasn't going to make the playoffs with how loaded the AFC is. But from a roster standpoint, I know the line is not good. I know defensively there's a lot of holes. But you look at the offensive pieces, there was a reason to believe in the Raiders.
Well, you know, the thing that's killing me is I'm conflicted now. Like we're not gonna go anywhere. So we should just be trying to lose so we can get better draft picks. But, you know, I actually think the offensive line is playing better than they were at the beginning of the season. It's just the defensive line, you know, Josh McDaniels and Ziegler, they didn't do their job. They got a bunch of crap guys. They took a gamble on that didn't pan out, and they made a huge mistake with Chandler Jones.
Yeah, but at the time, you liked the Chandler Jones move. Chandler Jones has a chance to be a Hall of Famer. You know, I know he's getting up there in years, but I wouldn't say at the time that was thought to be a crap move. Did he have a fumble recovery too yesterday?
Yeah, he had a half a sack, I think. I mean, so he's got one for the whole season. And my boy Max Crosby's already like at number 11.
Yeah, Crosby's great. There's no doubt about that. But it doesn't matter if you win or lose. If you're the Raiders, like I get it, you'd rather have the better draft pick, but Josh McDaniels isn't going anywhere. He's going to be back there next year. And then next year, the seat will be on fire.
That's the upsetting part.
Oh, we'll see how it pans out. So far, it's not been good, obviously. But you'll see what adjustments he'll make in year number two. But if he gets off to a slow start, then he's cooked.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is, have you been watching this kid Green from Boise State? And you know, obviously Richardson from Florida. I think there's a good crop of young quarterbacks coming up, and they all look very similar. The kid, also the freshman, the true freshman.
I got to run. I apologize about that. I got to go to John Jansen. We talked about the young quarterbacks earlier. I know some of those guys aren't eligible yet, but you look at the guys that we thought were going to be the first-round picks this year, Will Levis and C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker, we'll see what happens there. The guy that's been the best quarterback in terms of that's eligible for the draft this year is going to be Bryce Young. But a lot of these quarterbacks have kind of soured a little bit in terms of being locks to be first-round picks and feel great about them. There'll be a few that go in the first round this year because only one last year in Kenny Pickett. But I don't think the quarterback draft class was as great as what we once thought it was out to be, but we'll see how that changes in the next few months. All right, we'll take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show. John Jansen is on the call for the big Michigan victory over the Ohio State Buckeyes. Will join us next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And I know my next guest is fired up because his alma mater, Michigan, once again beat the living snot out of Ohio State back-to-back years. Last year in the Big House, this time over in Ohio State at the Horseshoe. And now joining us is a man that does their radio games on the radio for Michigan, and that, of course, is John Jansen. John, appreciate the time. How you been?
Good evening, Zach. It's good to hear from you, and I couldn't be any better right now, that's for sure.
So last year, I thought it could not get any better than that, and we went back and forth on Twitter about this. I know both are great, but I think this one is even better because it shows consistency, and they beat the crap out of Ohio State without their best player in Blake Corum.
Well, and it was down in Columbus. When you last year was very cathartic in the fact that it had been so long since Michigan had beaten Ohio State. It was at home. Everybody got a chance to celebrate, rush the field. I mean, it was special in its own right. And now you go down there, you know, really in the belly of the beast, and you get a chance to do what Michigan did to them, especially in the second half. And it you know, justifies what happened last year, and it signals, you know, hey, this is where Michigan should be, and it should be a, you know, Big Ten title contender every single year, college football playoff, contender every year, and this rivalry is back to being a rivalry.
I know they did not have a great pass rush up against Ohio State, but you look at the other side in the trenches, offensive line, they were unbelievable. And I went into this game, I thought throughout the year Michigan was the better team than Ohio State, but I was nervous going into this game because you didn't know if you'd have Corum. You didn't know what Donovan Edwards would be. But to put 252 up on the ground, John, that was just that was unbelievable.
Well, it was, and especially when you think about, you know, Donovan Edwards, when he went for 75, that was the longest, run in that rivalry against Ohio State. And then what, three, four plays later, he goes for 85 and breaks his own record. So, that was obviously enjoyable to watch. And, you know, here's the thing about Michigan's game plan is they knew they were going to try and run the ball. And in the first half, I mean, you ended the first half with only 10 yards on the ground. Things hadn't gone well. Ohio State was packing the box, but Michigan did find a way to throw the ball downfield. Obviously, the two touchdowns to Cornelius Johnson in the first half, gave them some confidence. And then you get a chance to hit, your tight end in Colston Loveland. And then Donovan goes off for those other two. When you have explosive plays like that in both the passing game and on the ground, you become a very difficult offense to defend. And in regards to Michigan's defensive line, you know, a lot of their pressures didn't necessarily come from the defensive line this year. Everybody thinks about Ojabo and Hutchinson of last year and the razzle dazzle and all of the fire that came with those two being the guys that put pressure on, but that's really all that it was last year. This year, that pressure has come from the defensive line. It's come from linebackers. It's come from the secondary, and they've applied more pressure on opposing quarterbacks, but against Ohio State, I would rather, and I think it was a great game plan by Jesse Minter, drop seven into coverage against that very talented wide receiving core and skill set that Ohio State has, and just say, hey, put whatever pressure on you can up front. Mike Morris didn't get a whole lot of reps in, and so it was basically not allowing C.J. Stroud to escape the pocket. He doesn't do that a lot to begin with, but it was just making sure that he stayed in the pocket. They knew where he was going to be. Put pressure on as you can, but make sure that you defend the pass.
John Jansen here with us. What did J.J. McCarthy prove to you on Saturday?
That he's got a big old pair of cojones. He stood in that pocket and took a hit on that first touchdown pass to Cornelius Johnson, and he you could really see him get more and more confident in the pass game and then the run game as well in terms of decisions on the read option, when to keep it. He goes for 19 yards on his longest run and, 3-yard run to score a touchdown. It wasn't an easy run. It took a big hit, right at the goal line. So he really showed that, he's willing to put his body on the line. He's willing to take some shots downfield and has the confidence, and we all knew he had the skill set to complete those, but the confidence to actually take them.
Talking to John Jansen right now as Michigan once again beats Ohio State. So you talked about that first half. Ohio State was just great right out of the chute with that touchdown drive to make it 7-0. You had all the big plays, but going into halftime, Michigan was trailing by 3. That drive to start the second half where you get the Colston Loveland 45-yard touchdown from J.J. McCarthy, that showed you that Michigan had a good, firm grasp on this game, even though it was only 24-20 at that time, because going into halftime, it felt like Michigan should have the lead, but they didn't.
Well, in that drive, Khalil Mullings, who is a linebacker and had played some running back in the spring,
yeah,
was another guy that they had brought over just to try and shore up that running back position. And in the first half, he got stopped on a third and short. This one, you know, it's a third and short again. They have him the ball. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's running towards the line of scrimmage and then does that little jump pass. And I talked to Coach Harbaugh today, and he said that Khalil didn't even see where Luke Schoonmaker was. He just threw it to a spot. And, you know, it wasn't a great pass, didn't need to be a great pass, but it shows you the confidence and the trust that these guys have in each other that, hey, I'm just going to throw it to a spot. I'm going to trust my guy to be there. And it was that ended up being a huge play in that drive as well.
Also, when Ohio State was trying to get back in the game and they had to settle for that field goal late, that pass breakup was really something too.
There were a number of different plays throughout the course of the game. And you're talking to Mikey Sanders-Still's breakup on Cade Stover in the end zone. That was a huge play. You know, earlier in the game.
31-20 at the time.
Yeah, 31-20. And forcing them to only get three out of that. Michigan stays up eight. And then that's when, obviously, Donovan Edwards goes for his first 75-yard run.
And said night-night.
Yeah, even earlier in the game, when you got Jalen Harrell on Cade Stover as well on a fourth down play, a pass breakup. I mean, you've got guys making plays like that throughout the course of the game, and they're ones that when you go back and you look at, you go, wow, that was a huge play, and it seemed a little underrated at the time. And I don't think the Sanders-Still pass breakup was underrated at the time, but there were just moments like that throughout the course of the game where this was a total team victory. It took every single guy to have a great day. Some of the guys had the best day that they've ever had playing for Michigan, you know, in Columbus on last Saturday.
Talking to John Jansen for a few more moments. Michigan off to the Big Ten championship game for a second year in a row. And they are well on their way to another berth in the college football playoff. What can you say about Harbaugh at this point? He had to take a pay cut. We all know the story a year ago. Finally beat Ohio State and now does it again. How about the future of Jim Harbaugh in Michigan? Some people still may think he tests those waters in the NFL. I think he's going to stay now. A few weeks ago, I thought maybe he was going to leave. Now I think he's going to stay.
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to hear that. I mean, who knows when or if that ever ends. You know, and obviously he, you know, fanned the flames a little bit last year when he was up in Minnesota, you know, on National Signing Day. And, you know, he was very honest with his team, talked to them about it, talked to Ward Manuel about it. Everybody knew what was going on and decided that, no, he wanted to stay in Ann Arbor. And I think he's here for some time. I'm not going to say he's here for good, but I think he's here for some time. And the longer he stays, the closer it is to being for good.
Is Corum going to play this weekend? I would be surprised if he does.
Yeah, that's a great question. I honestly don't know the answer to that. I know that he gave it a go, as we all saw on Saturday in Columbus. It didn't go well for him. I do know that if he can, even if it's in a limited capacity, he's going to give it a go. He wants to be a part of the game down in Indianapolis. But they also have, eyes on what they could possibly do in the college football playoffs. So they want to be smart about it, but they also understand, hey, this is for a Big Ten championship.
I hope he's also a finalist still for the Heisman. I was talking about him maybe winning the award months ago, but when you don't play, unfortunately, because of injury against Ohio State, and now you may miss the Big Ten championship game, it seems like momentum is really shifting to Caleb Williams now winning the award.
Yeah, I think you probably got three guys going into last weekend. It was Caleb Williams, it was C.J. Stroud, and it was Blake Corum. And those three, I think, will probably be the guys that'll be in New York.
I think Max Duggan, too, from TCU. He'll be a finalist, I think.
Could be. It depends on how many they end up taking. I think that I do think Caleb Williams has probably sewed that one up. And especially with the opportunity in the Pac-12 championship game against Utah, if they can come back and get a win against them, a lot of it will rest on the arm and the legs of Caleb Williams. But you don't have, Blake Corum didn't have that Heisman moment in the biggest game of the season for Michigan. So it's unfortunate, but I mean, he's a terrific back, had a great year, and is not finished.
He told me on this show after the UConn game that he thought this team this year was better than the team last year that won the Big Ten championship, that got to the college football playoff. When you look at the team this year, what do you think they could accomplish? Because we know last year, as great of a year as it was, they did get blown out against Georgia in the college football playoff.
No, I think they have the ability to go all the way. I think that, especially with what we saw JJ do against Ohio State and Cornelius Johnson and the passing game finally coming to life, I think that there's a chance. They have the ability. They have the talent. They've got some confidence to be able to go into the college football playoffs, especially, I mean, it looks like if things go as planned that they won't face Georgia until the national championship game. And if they get TCU, if TCU, you know, moves up to three to take place of Ohio State and USC takes four, I really think that they do have a chance to go all the way. Georgia is not as good as they were last year. Still a good team, don't get me wrong, but I think Michigan is a better football team this year than they were last year.
If I would have told you before the year that Michigan would be in the national championship game, would you have believed that?
Yeah, I thought it was possible. You know, the questions going into the season were, like I mentioned earlier, how do you replace the production of Hutchinson and Ojabo? How do you replace the leadership of a Josh Ross as your linebacker, Dax Hill in the secondary? Defensively, that was going to be the big question. Offensively, I think everybody agreed they're going to be a better team offensively, but this year's defense, much deeper and more talented in the secondary. Linebackers with Junior Colson and Mike Barrett have performed extremely well and are fast. This being, you know, Junior Colson's second year. And then up front, you've got a rotation of 8, 9, sometimes 10 guys. So guys are fresh up front. You got the freaking Mozzie Smith playing great this year. Mason Graham coming in as a freshman. Like, there were some guys that we didn't know would have the season they're having. But, and you know, right now, they're a better defense than they were last year.
John Jansen, congratulations to your alma mater. What a performance that was. We'll see how much further they could take it. But we really appreciate you carving out some time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Zach. We'll talk to you guys soon.
You got it. There's John Jansen joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll end the show out in style with the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming. But real quickly, before we get to Marco Belletti, in about a minute or less, how was the first Thanksgiving that you had with your family since you were 15?
It was good. I wore the name tag. I introduced myself to everybody.
Who's this stranger?
I got a chance to, you know, get 5 minutes with everybody, and we kind of went over all the years, and it was good.
Good.
You did all right with the cooking for yourself, Dad?
Yes, yes. All right. I survived. I muscled through adversity, and I found a way to come out on top.
There you go.
Was good. So you didn't get kicked out at Thanksgiving? You knew how to handle yourself? Everything was good?
Yeah, I mean, the Giants being on was a little bit of a kick.
Was there some cursing, some throwing of items?
No, I don't do any of that. But
so
I did
not hickey.
No, but I didn't actually sit with the family during dinner. I sat in the other room and watched the game.
Was that unpopular after you missed Thanksgiving for all those years?
No, not really. The only thing that was a little unpopular, they were kind of like, why can't you just eat and then just go back? And I'm like, yeah, no, that doesn't really work. Like, I can't miss 10 minutes of the game. Like, that's not going to happen. So I ate basically during halftime in the kitchen, just grabbed, like, almost kind of like a dog, grab a couple things.
Have a bowl.
Just kind of like threw it in, you know, shovel it down. Shovel it down and went right back in the living room and sat on the couch.
This season, for the first time, you can hear
you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, international series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app and Wesselwoodsports.com via Wesselwood Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Wesselwood Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. And at the half, in a game where Hickey guaranteed that the Indianapolis Colts would win by 10-plus points, I tried to warn him, your team's not good enough to make that guarantee against any team in the league. The Steelers are up 16-3. And if you want to see a video of Hot Take Hickey be upset and just looked absolutely demoralized after the Colts had a 59-yard field goal blocked?
Blocked, yep.
Mm-hmm. You could go to my Twitter.
Of course.
At Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Let's get to
the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's start things off with the Gamecocks quarterback, Spencer Rattler. Last week had 6 passing touchdowns in a victory up against Tennessee. Follows it up, 25 of 39, 360 passing yards and 2 passing touchdowns. Also had a rushing touchdown as well, as South Carolina comes back to get the victory against Clemson, 31-30. Give a stock up to Spencer Rattler. OHNO! How about Michigan, baby? Go Blue! They absolutely destroyed the Ohio State Buckeyes for the 2nd year in a row. And Ohio State had a lead at halftime. They didn't show up in the second half. Give a stock up to the Wolverines. Max Duggan, still undefeated. I think going to be a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. It's probably going to be Caleb Williams winning the award, but Max Duggan should be a finalist in New York coming up next week. Give a stock up to Max Duggan, and we could also give a stock up to Caleb Williams, another sensational performance as USC does beat Notre Dame. David Njoku, a tremendous one-handed catch to get the game into overtime. Nick Chubb walks it off. Nice little job for the Brownies. Hickey, have you ever seen the movie The Replacements with Shane Falco?
Of course.
That felt very Shane Falco-esque with Jacoby Brissett in that quarterback. Final start before the other guy comes on back. Little different scenarios why the guy is coming back. But I felt very happy for Jacoby Brissett. So, you know what? I was going to give this stock up to David Njoku or Nick Chubb. I'll give it to Jacoby Brissett. T. Higgins, great catch. Goes for over 100 yards and 7 receptions and gets that touchdown. Bengals beat Tennessee. Give a stock up to T. Higgins. Mike White, over 300 passing yards and 3 passing touchdowns. Zach Wilson last week only had 77 passing yards. Give a stock up to Mike White. Jalen Hurts continues to be the man for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are 10-1. They have been sensational this year as the Philadelphia Eagles do defeat the Green Bay Packers last night on Sunday Night Football. And in the game for the Eagles quarterback, Jalen Hurts, 16-28, 153 yards and 2 passing touchdowns. Also rushed for 157 yards on 17 carries. Give a stock up. 2-1, Jalen Hurts. Kendall Fuller had the pick 6 last week. Gets the game-winning interception this week. Give him a stock up for the Commanders, who have won 6 out of their last 7 games. Trevor Lawrence, 29-37, 321 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Got Marvin Jones at the 10-yard touchdown reception. Then Zay Jones, who was awesome, 11 catches, 145 yards, gets a 2-point conversion. Give a stock up to Trevor Lawrence. Josh Jacobs accounted for 303 total yards of offense. 229 rushing yards, 74 receiving yards, 2 total touchdowns to the game-winning 86-yard walk-off TD. And I think this may be the best stat I've ever read. Jacobs had more yards of total offense this week than the Giants, Bears, Saints, Broncos, Texans, and Rams. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams. Hickey, that may be the greatest stat I've ever heard. Give him a stock up. Did you see the skunk in the Browns game? There was a skunk in the stands. Now, I have a phobia of skunks. I had a friend get sprayed by a skunk when we were at sleepaway camp, and I'm always fearful of skunks because that smell was disgusting. This skunk supposedly did not spray anyone, stayed in the stands for the entire game, because how are you going to remove a skunk? Who wants to do that? And then after the game, a reporter caught up with the skunk. He interviewed him. He was following around the stadium. The skunk was getting all this food. And then Hickey, the skunk made it out of the stadium. That's amazing.
Like you said, who's going to be trapping the skunk and picking it up? I'm not doing it. Security doesn't get paid enough for that.
Great longevity by the skunk. 99 on a Madden scale for longevity for that skunk. How that skunk survived that game. Give a stock up to the skunk. Another blown fourth quarter lead for the Ravens. Disgraceful. Give them a stock down. Buccaneers, another discouraging performance. Give them a stock down. Russell Wilson, you are horrible. Your old defensive lineman even told you that. It was in the AAF. Jeez. Stock down to Russell Wilson. Seahawks, bad, bad, bad loss to the Raiders. Give them a stock down. Dennis Allen, you should be one and done. Shut out. I know the 49ers are a good team, but had you not score any points, give them a stock down the Saints. LSU, you had an outside chance of making the college football playoff. Two-loss SEC champion on the table, and you couldn't even get to the SEC championship game with only two losses. They'll still play in it this weekend because they lost to A&M. Give a stock down to LSU. And Ryan Day. Oof. So much for hanging 100 on Michigan. You got blown out last year, and you got blown out again. Stock down to Ryan Day. And I'm giving a stock down to the awful announcing writer who's criticizing Joe Davis for yelling. He wasn't even yelling that much on the touchdown that Mike White threw. And you say the guy's a good announcer, but you wrote a hit piece on him because he showed a little energy. Yeah. This guy was a salty Bears fan. That's what it was. Stock down to whoever that awful announcing writer was. Fun show. Big thanks to Greg McElroy. Big thanks to John Jansen. Big thanks to the Steelers making Hickey look foolish once again. We'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Big thanks to each and every one of you. Talk to you. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3%. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.